You know, I don't find myself to be a particularly exceptional person.
Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkward.
Social podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode or streaming it. Or watching me attempt to try to do a video version of this podcast. Everybody has video and I don't know how they're doing it, and I'm trying it, and as you can see, I am failing. So
you're not failing.
Well, I'm not failing. I'm just not succeeding.
You're falling forward.
I'm succeeding differently. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with that. And I'm immediately noticing the camera's kind of at an angle.
Yeah, but you can fix that in post.
Could I?
Yeah, you just take it and tilt it. Or you can fix it now.
I can fix it now.
But then that first part, you're going to have to tilt. So you're going to have to like splice it.
Here's what I'll do. Is they know what's going on. They know the deal. Yeah. I also like that I left the footage is going to be a little upside down. You don't have to mock me every single time, Ariel.
You put that in my contract. I do.
You know, social contract, sure. That's one of the downsides of having like a good friend is
wow.
The permission we have to mock each other, because I am an asshole.
Yeah.
I am very comfortable with making fun of people.
Yep.
And then when it happens to me, I'm like, "Hey, hey, what are you doing to me?"
I mean, I would say that that's not a downside. That's just your friends keeping you humble. Now, that Funko over there is tipped over. Does that bother you, or are you like on bad terms with that specific Funko and you're like, "I don't want to see you"?
No. So she's pointing out a Santa Claus dressed Jack Skellington.
Yes.
No, that was knocked over when I was trying to grab some of the soundproofing I set up for the recording. So I didn't even notice it until right now. It is bothering me.
I meant to tell you earlier, in that one that's facing this way.
Yeah.
Sylvie is like
judging me.
Yeah. She's watching. Oh, it's our audience.
Yes. It's our audience
of one.
You know what? That's a great way to do it. Like, to feel
the
comfortable.
People who download.
Like, if you want to feel comfortable in front of an audience, just set up like the way kids did with like their stuffed animals everywhere. Yeah. I should just do like all the Funkos. Oh, how creepy would that be if one day I come in the room and they're all just facing me? Like,
ready
I didn't
for
I,
the show.
Yeah, I didn't even turn them. They're out of their box, which is like stop losing value. And now I have to endure them judging me and watching the podcast. Suddenly I'm feeling the pressure.
Oh man, it's like small soldiers.
Yeah.
Can I just say?
Yes, you may.
And I haven't watched it in a while.
Uh-huh.
But I'm willing to bet. Mm-hmm. But if I did, it would still be just an underrated banger.
It's a great movie. I mean, they have Tommy Lee Jones.
Perfect casting.
Perfect casting. And I love that. I feel like, I mean, he did things like Men in Black and things afterwards. But I feel like his sort of crotchety old man energy that has always existed with him will make him not fully understand the material, but he still commits to it completely.
I think he took it 100%. He's yeah. like, this is who I am.
Yeah, I would love it if there was a behind the scenes where they filmed him doing all the stuff and they didn't tell him that they were going to replace him with CGI toys. Like, that would be amazing if he has no knowledge of the fact that this is a toy movie.
Oh, man. No, that movie is so good. Every time it's on, it doesn't come on very often, but every time it's on and I see it's on, I end up watching the whole thing. I end up watching the rest of it.
Well, nostalgia is amazing. There's movies that are like that I can't like not watch. You know, any of the Back to the Futures, if that's on TV, yeah. I will watch that. What is another one that I'm trying to think of that used to be the case? It used to be the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Hard Target, for some reason.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like that was just
such
so
a specific Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Yeah, and it's one of those, because I want to say it might have been the first one I ever saw of him. And, you know, and he's like doing the splits and he's doing all the things that he's doing, yeah, the iconic things. And I just remember seeing this and I was like, now that is a man.
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Goddamn.
Oh, you know what? Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I can watch that.
Yeah, Raul Julia just fucking kills it.
So good.
Nails
Everyone
it.
Is so good. Zangief still has the best line in that whole movie. It cracks me up every single time.
Quick, somebody change the channel.
Yes, that every one? Time yeah. I laugh like it's the first time I've heard it.
It's the that is a great performance, and it is so likable. Like, you, obviously, like, in the, if you ever want to watch, if you are a youngster and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? There is a movie that came out in the, I'm going to say mid-90s-ish, where Jean-Claude Van Damme was supposed to play all-American Colonel Guile, and with the thickest accent and the fakest hair. And like,
we are going to take it to him.
Yeah.
Bye, son.
That was a great, and what I love is that Raul Julia is like, has this sort of British or like really intellectual accent that could be from like fucking like a upper classy Boston kind of guy.
But he's supposed to be from Thailand.
Yeah. It's supposed to be, and not even then, he's supposed to be from a fictional country.
It circles around to like a great movie. Oh yeah. Man, when I was a kid, oh, this is so embarrassing. I'm about to say this out loud.
Go for it.
I had the biggest crush on Vega.
I mean, he was a good looking dude.
Oh, he was gorgeous. He was like, handsome. I could fix him. I couldn't be with him if it was still on the bad side.
Now, how old were you when this was the crush?
What year did it come out?
Like 98, 97?
No, it didn't come out in 97.
It might have been a little earlier. Yeah, that. It might have been. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and change my answer to 1995. That's going to be my answer. Because I was going to say, I was going to make a comment of being like, oh, I'd like to have claw marks from that guy. But I was like, no, you would have been too young.
Yeah, I would have been way too young to have that.
No, but he was a good looking guy. It was great casting. It was intentional.
94.
I was
close. 7.
Okay, yeah. So he definitely didn't have that thought process.
And I was like, he's so beautiful. Why is he on the bad side?
I thought the same thing about Chun-Li. I was just sort of like,
she wasn't bad.
No, she. But also at the same time, it's just the actress is so beautiful and everything.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Did I tell you that I met her and I embarrassed myself recently? Or like
I
last
think
year,
you told me about it, but yeah. I can't remember what happened. So remind me.
So I told I went to the LA Comic Con. I had I got some autographs. So I got hers and I got the actress who played the Pink Ranger.
Yes,
in the original Power Rangers. And I brought this up to her, which I didn't need to do. And this goes back to the thing of I don't need to say everything that I'm thinking.
Yes.
Years prior, I was working for a company in Calabasas, and across the street was this business center where they had like a Subway sandwich shop and so on and so on. And I was there having a sandwich, and in walks Ming-Na Wen. Yeah. And she walks in, you know, with her kids, looking gorgeous as ever, but she's with her family. And as I've mentioned before, I will not approach, especially if she's got her family with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sort of acknowledge her from afar. No. I say nothing.
I know where this is going, I think.
Years later, this was right before she started Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I see her, and then as I'm approaching her, and the thing, she engages a little bit. She asks you what color marker you want to use and stuff like that. Like, she's very friendly. And I told her, I'm like, I actually saw you at a sandwich shop out in Calabasas about 5 or 10 years ago, whatever it was. And I was like, but you were with your family, so I didn't want to say hi then. So I'm saying hi now. Hello. And then she's like, oh, okay.
This guy knows where I live.
Now, that was...
Oh my God, she's got you on a list.
Yeah, I'm not allowed in Calabasas, so far that's Kim Kardashian. No,
you're not allowed to wear Street Fighter gear anymore.
No, I just
they confiscated your games.
Yeah, no, it's
all Funkos.
She autographed the restraining order. That's great.
I think she had to. Yeah, for the judge.
Yeah, I'm like, fine, I will accept it, but she needs to hand it to me, and we need to take a selfie. That was.
Could you imagine someone taking a selfie with the person they're delivering a restraining order to?
That, you know what? There is somebody out there that's like that. There has to be somebody who's like, deuces, you know, as with handcuffs on. And it just, I can see that being.
That would be a great deal if you could like get rid of a stalker, be like, look, I will autograph the restraining order.
Yeah.
Just leave.
That seems so dangerous. That seems like, imagine having a stalker and being like, look, If I invite you in to have a sandwich, will you leave me alone forever?
No, you're
not
inviting them in. I didn't say all that. I didn't say all that.
I know, but I'm saying is that you may as well, if you give them an inch, they take a mile, no matter what it is you offer.
Nope.
What would you do for a stalker? What would you agree to do for a stalker?
What would I agree to do for a stalker?
To get them to leave you alone.
to get them to not bust their other kneecap.
Okay, but in a world of where you don't want to get sued.
I'm not going to get sued if they break into my house.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about like running into you in public where they could be like, this is a public space, which I've seen. It is terrifying when people are like, hey, I'm in public, you can't touch me kind of thing. I was like,
yeah, well, that doesn't work in my neighborhoods. Yeah. I can touch anything I can see.
She is stalking me. What if I just presented you with a restraining order right now? That's how we end the podcast, is just me telling
that's
you.
That's like, how we should just, whenever we retire,
yeah,
you should just hand me a restraining order. You know, we'll take our final picture.
That would be a great way to end a friendship and be like, hey, look, this friendship ran its course. Stay at least 500 feet away from me and have a good life.
I should have done that with friendships I ended, like, give them a certificate for how many years we made it.
Yeah.
Like, congratulations, you made it 13 years as my friend. They're like, well, what is this for? We're like, you made it.
Give them, like, sobriety coins. Hey, I've known you for 5 years. Here. You've earned this.
And then you're like, I need your sobriety coin. Yeah. I need your friendship coin back.
I'm going to need your friendship coin back. Please return it.
It's been 0 days since you've been a good friend.
Yeah, it just looks like a little doubloon with your face like embedded on the side of it.
It's just those hearts that you used to get for each other.
The one that's like the beef fry one.
I need your half of the heart necklace back.
That is the most heartbreaking.
It's like, so heartbreaking
to get that.
Or when someone's like, "I want my friendship bracelet back," and you're like, "But you made it for me."
I just when I was a kid, brutal. My best friend and I, like, I remember I got one of those beef fry things. And I was like, I don't know if I can give this to him because I feel like I'm like, it felt weird giving him this. So I kept both sides.
Oh, man.
And it was just one of those like, trust me kind of things.
That's like an allegory for masculinity.
It was
like, I want to give you half of my heart, but I'm too manly. So I'll just keep both halves of my heart with me.
I wish I was that. I wish I was so manly that I was that. It was more just embarrassing of like giving anyone a gift and being like, what if they don't like it? You know, and then one day he saw it. And then he goes, what's this? I was like, oh, one of them was supposed to be for you. He's like, oh, that's cool. And then he just grabbed it. And that was it. You know, I don't think either one of us kept it. But
he
like,
loved you.
He did. He still does.
And you could have just trusted it.
Yeah, I know. We just talked as recent as like 2 days ago.
Do you hug?
Yeah, of course.
Yay.
Yeah.
Men who hug and love each other are just the best.
We hug. We've cried together.
Beautiful.
We've listened to each other's heartbreaking stories. I wrote a poem for him to give to a girl he had a crush on once.
Aww.
He didn't do that. He ended up like just asking her out. But yeah,
what is the name of that Shakespeare or Cicero?
Yes, I'm a Cicero. I was not a I was a poet that didn't know how to do much. Yeah, I was.
Wow, I can't believe you of all people didn't do that old 90s rhyme.
You know, the only reason I didn't do it is because I was too busy being humble. No?
All right, and on to the next subject.
I'm off my game right
now. The other puns, I can't stop them, but that one, nostalgic one, you just glide right past.
It's because I'm still recovering from that car chase that was me trying to bring Milkshake back in from... That was a lot.
I was up here like, I've been watching a lot of little videos. Is he coming back or did he just leave me the house?
Halfway back, we run into the neighbors who have just started fostering.
Mm-hmm.
So Milkshake came from a place called Pups Without Borders. And that I was talking to the neighbor and they were talking about wanting to get a second dog. And I mentioned Pups Without Borders and then they went and got a dog from there.
Aww.
So like it was a nice, beautiful little domino effect.
Aww.
Yeah. So yeah,
how cute.
She has a boyfriend named Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I don't. I was like, Kevin, come on. And he's
dogs
a big
with human names.
You know,
you gotta watch out for them. They're all fuck boys.
This dog is like the biggest oafiest dog. That's like he reminds you of Kevin from The Office, and it's actually really cute.
Aww.
And she's like so in love with him. And this new dog just loves Milkshake. And they were playing and going crazy for a little while when I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I got to pluck her away now because my co-host is upstairs waiting. Like, I pictured you getting not like flustered, but like worried and being like, where the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, I was just watching videos, but yeah, to recap that whole story, he just abandoned me for a while.
Yeah,
sorry. That's basically that. What that story, it was cute way to say it.
Yeah.
Like, it was a cute, heartwarming way to say you abandoned me.
It was, because I mentioned the rescue, and yeah. I mentioned the connection the animals have.
Yeah, you covered all the bases.
Yeah, it's great. You mentioned it's perfect.
Kevin.
I'm so sorry.
And you mentioned The Office. You, that's like, true. Hit all the bases and still...
Yeah.
It's just really you abandoning me for a while.
I'm sorry I was running late. I was reviving somebody. I jump-started their heart, but I know you're waiting.
Sorry I'm late. This kid was like in the middle of the street and I dove for him before this bus could hit him, you know? And then I had to help his grandmother cross the street to get to him.
I am so sorry I was late. This woman was giving birth and... she was in the tub for some reason, and I just saw her as I was crossing the street, and I was like, you know what? Let me help her real quick. I got a couple minutes. I'm so embarrassed. I'm just such a hero sometimes to the world.
I'm sorry. It's hard having such a big heart.
Yeah.
You were saying?
Yeah. The doctor said that that's an issue, but I'll work through it.
Have you ever had people? Well, I hate when I start it. Like, have you ever had? Because I know everyone's dealt with this.
Yes.
But you know that feeling when someone's like being just a dick. In the nicest way, like that, like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just like really just proficient at this, but I'll slow down. It's like, yeah. You know what, motherfucker, shut up.
yes, I know that. And I admittedly, I've been that guy.
You're that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, was this my way of bringing it up the whole time?
No.
No, I'm kidding.
One time I was helping out with a drawing project, and I needed to make it look like this other person drew this storyboard. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't draw it in the way that I draw, which is I draw better because I actually draw this person doesn't.
Yeah.
And in the middle of doing it, I was putting too many details and they were like, you can't do it that way. And then I was like, I don't know how to draw. Like, I don't know how to draw was what I said. Oof. And I was just like, oh, that is such a dickish thing to say, which got pointed out to me. I didn't catch it in the moment. But once it got said back to me, I was like, yeah, what the fuck was that? Why did I just...
Why'd you have to do it in someone else's...
It was for a class assignment.
Oh.
So it couldn't look like somebody helped out.
Okay.
And it's like I went in there. I'm not like a fucking Picasso, but I know how to draw a symmetrical face, you know, things like mm-hmm. that, which this person did not know how to do.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was one of those kinds of situations. So I've been that guy.
The only time I've ever done that was when I was absolutely trying to be a dick, like being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Because there's just some things, like, I was at a job, and there's, like, this one little thing that only a couple of us could figure out to do, and everyone else was just too lazy to do it.
Yeah.
And I just went into work one day, and I was like, you know, I don't find myself to be a particularly exceptional person. And I was like, but it's so strange that I'm, like, the only one who can figure out how to do this. I guess it's time for me to accept that I'm just... a fucking genius, maybe. Like, maybe it's not that everyone else is stupid. Maybe it's I'm so far beyond you guys that I'm just limiting myself by being here because I am Superman in this place. That's the time I did it. But I absolutely, like, if someone's like, you're being a dick, I'd be like, that was the intention the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm being sarcastic because asking hasn't helped.
Was this directed at somebody that was already kind of an asshole to you, or somebody that got under your skin, or did you just feel like being...
Oh, no, it was me joking about it with a friend who doesn't mess up.
Oh, I see.
So it's the two of us talking about it.
Oh, that just changes everything completely.
Yeah.
That wasn't a great sentiment,
but like if I was saying it to someone else, no, that's a little bit forwardly aggressive.
Yeah, no, that's like saying... I can't even think of a good example right now because I'm too busy taken back by how yours wasn't technically.
What? It technically is.
That was playful at best. That wasn't being a dick.
It's kind of being a dick. It's just not directly.
You know what? I agree to disagree because I just... Yeah. I've had a situation like...
Someone's listening like, this girl thinks she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Her real name's Clarence.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good example, something like that I've done with work. There's only one time that I've ever been, I had a temp job. There's somebody that I was working alongside of who had the least amount of, like, the thinnest skin, the least amount of sense of humor, the most offended woman, girl, whatever, that I had ever met up, you know, I think even until now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what I said. Whatever it was I said, you said in this conversation alone at least five things that were significantly more insulting towards me than whatever it is that I said to her. So it wasn't that bad.
Only five times more, I guess, set my game up.
Yeah, it was essentially, it was like I was telling her, like, kind of thing, but making a joke about it, like, oh, you counted that wrong. I guess there's a new way to count, you know, or whatever. She started crying.
Oh, wow.
And I was confused by what was happening. I was like, what's happening? And then the guy who next to me, he goes, I don't know how to tell you this, but you need to apologize to her right now. And I was like, for what?
Well, he did know how to tell you this because he just didn't.
Well, no, he didn't know how to tell me what would precede that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't at that temp job much longer after that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because she complained saying that I was being too aggressive with her.
Oh, wow.
And I just, all I could think to myself was like, oh my God, what did I do? Like, I was bothered by it.
So you never even figured out what it was?
No, I mean, it was that same thing that I just said, essentially. But it made her cry so much that they were just like, we don't need you back here.
Oh, man.
So I think, I don't know what it is that they, like, but, you know, I was the temp. She was who I was hired to help out. Mm-hmm. And so obviously they were inclined to believe her. But when the guy turned around and told me that, all I could think to myself was like, I'm sure I could have fought it, but I had no interest in returning back to a place that was favoring somebody who started crying for seemingly nothing. I was like, I don't want to be in an environment that's that sensitive. I wish I could be
a fly on that wall and see if you were just a real piece of shit.
I legitimately thought about that for a while. I was like, what did I do wrong? What, you know, what more could I have done? Was this a buildup to something? Was it she having a bad day?
I remember Liz, my best friend, when we first met, when we were in a pre-shift meeting.
Uh-huh.
And our manager at the time at the place, he was going over like some new idea he had for us to do that, you know, like when your boss is springing on you a new idea like 10 minutes before you're set to open for service. And you're like, why the fuck are we doing this today? Why don't we have time to practice?
Yeah.
And so he was like, all right, so let's try this and see if it's going to work out. And I was like, it's not going to work, but we'll do it. You know, that's all I said. I was like, it's not going to work, but this is your club. So we'll do it your way and struggle through the night. And she came up to me. She was like newer to that place. I think I was hired like a month, maybe 3 weeks before her. And like she came up to me and she was like, yo, you from the East Coast? And I was like, no. And in hindsight, I think the way that she read it was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, fuck the East Coast. And she was like, oh, okay. And she thought like, bitch.
Yeah.
But my thought process when I said it was like, no. And it was really like why do people ask me that? I don't feel like I have an East Coast vibe. Always ask me that. And then when she had like that, oh, reaction, I'm like, bitch, who cares if I'm from the East Coast? So we both very much misinterpreted my statement. Because it was said in a way, but it was just so funny because like for a couple weeks we just weren't really cool, just the girl I saw at work.
Yeah.
But I liked her work ethic. I was like, yo, when she's on shift and I'm on shift, we get shit done, so I don't really give a shit if she cares I'm from the East Coast. Like, she clears tables. I like her.
Yeah.
I want to keep her around. And then we just, you know, became the Bopsy twins.
You two like connected. You were East meets West. You guys were the rush hour of being servers, yeah. And I respect that.
We're like, if the East Coast, West Coast rap, it found some middle ground.
Beef, yeah. Yeah. Right, some like a common ground. They're like, you know what? We're gonna meet up in Chicago, and yeah. we're gonna patch shit up.
Meet me in St. Louis.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one time where I like didn't realize how what I said was taken because it was just so in the moment. I was like, no. Like, why do people just assume that? I don't feel like I sound it.
You and I know each other well enough to understand each other's accents or accent tone.
Inflections.
And yeah. So we can connect with each other enough to understand that neither one of us is genuinely being offensive. I mean, you've gotten to the edge. There you go. There you go. You know, she's mocking.
Helped you get it out.
She's mocking the autistic.
I helped you.
It's
oh, don't can you put guys that cancel out in the her? Universe.
If you could just cancel her, that'd be great. She saw my disability and said, "She she said.
I feel like I should have stopped laughing by now, but I can't.
No. That's a problem. She's too proud of herself. Her bigotry is knows no bounds.
Big bigotry.
Yeah.
No, I love you, man.
Oh, thanks, pal. And I got to tell you.
But yeah, we got really close after that. Yeah. She knows my inflections now.
Yeah, exactly. And once you know that, you know that somebody isn't intentionally being offensive. Somebody isn't intentionally being, but it takes a while because your initial thoughts are like kind of like, all right.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, and you just process that and you kind of walk away with like, I don't like this person, but I haven't figured out quite why. You know, and my buddy, Aurelio, shout out to Aurelio. What up,
guy?
Used to dislike me greatly. And it took a road trip for some gig that we did out of town.
That's like a movie.
Yeah, it really was. And
the gig.
And it was one of those things where like the night was kind of got away from us a little bit. You know, there was a lot of audience interaction. There was like a drunk bachelorette group that kind of like
the worst.
You know, there was the owner of one of the bars that like, so this was in San Jose. We had our hotel, and then between the club and the hotel was a row of bars. And one of the bars was owned by this woman who was giving me drink after drink after drink. Like, she was getting me sauced up.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy Aurelio and the guy who brought us out together, I can't remember the guy's name right now, but we went out, and we weren't really kind of connecting on the drive up. And then I understand where that confusion came from, because people see my face, my expressionless face, my tone, and they think I'm like disinterested or that I think I'm better than. And in reality,
you do.
I absolutely. I'm completely above everybody. No, but like at a glance, somebody looked at me and like, oh, this guy's either really nervous or really full of himself. Mm-hmm. You know, was kind of and it was a just complete misunderstanding. Getting to know each other on the drive down is actually what kind of did it for us. The drive up, the show was a little rocky. And I still remember this so well, because I went up on stage and I did well.
Mm-hmm.
And I get off the stage and he's sitting there and he's like, yeah, that was, you know what? You're pretty good. And like, I could tell he was a little bothered to give me that compliment, because he disliked me. It wasn't just that he didn't like me. He genuinely disliked me. So
like actively
disliked me. Yeah. And like actively, to the point to where I try to talk to him and he's kind of like, yeah. And he kind of would just kind of like be a little crass about it.
Like, you were definitely in his burn book.
Yes. And it's just something someone said to him that was yet another misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those things where once it all got cleared up, it was like, oh, you're not full of yourself. That was just a complete misunderstanding type thing. And by the time we ended the drive, we were like buddies, and we started going to Disneyland together.
Drinking milkshakes. Yeah,
one straw, just not even two straws, just one straw.
Just your mouths on each other, sucking out of the same
straw.
Yeah,
we create a vacuum and just...
He's going to listen to this and be like, oh my God, I hate him again. And back to hate.
Yeah, it was just it was one of those things where it took a lot to kind of bring. And I feel like I wish I could do road trips with everyone that doesn't like me, just to see like by the end of
it. Some people might not like you more.
I'm willing to take that risk.
That should be a reality show. Yeah. Road trip with someone you don't like.
Yes.
And like the goal is for you, because you know they have what was the great race one? What was it?
Racism.
No, the Nazis. you know what I mean? The one where you go
Amazing
around.
Race?
The Amazing Race. Yes. I was close. The Great Race, The Amazing Race.
The Master Race.
The Fantastic. Yes. What was that? The Master Race?
Yeah.
You know, it's like people you know that you're going around with, yes, and survive. And those people have catastrophes.
Yeah.
But imagine like The Amazing Race, but with your arch nemesis. And the only way you both win money is if you win.
Together. Yeah. That would be something.
That's the show I want to see.
And then similarly,
the not so amazing race.
Yeah. No, similarly, I feel like that's what would also end or make somebody hate you more. Oh, we didn't win. Oh, I super hate you now. I'm definitely not going to give you one of my organs if I die.
I have another idea for a reality TV show. If any producers are watching, let me host. The Whose Fault Is It show where you have like it's like a judge show, but like it's relationships and the jury has to decide and deliberate which person was more at fault for the relationship ending.
Yeah. It's did I ever tell you my comedy show idea? So there's a lot of comedians that are in relationship with other comedians.
Oh, goodness.
And
it's like working at a restaurant.
Yeah, it is. I know. And I thought what would be a really fun idea for a show was to do a sort of head-to-head kind of thing. Like, let's say I book six comics, you know, two, three couples. They are tasked with doing a set that is specifically telling their perspective of a situation. So one partner would tell a story from their perspective, do a whole set, you know, like the material that's best about that. And then it would be followed by the next one coming up and telling the same story from their perspective. And so on. And I pitched this to several couples that are in relationships who all said that that is a terrible idea because that could be the kind of thing that would lead to a fight, that would lead to their relationship ending. And to that I said, I don't care.
Here's a show on that. So you get a group of friends who are comedians.
Yes. Let me work on doing that. And then
put them into a situation and then have them all. It's almost like improv comedy. Have them all do a set based on either something they've all experienced together or whatever situation you put them into.
Yeah.
And then whoever wins the best set of each round gets the title of whatever the name of your fucking show is.
So here's the challenge. For this competition, comedians, you need to help a friend get out of a cult. You know what? Ariel and I have a behind-the-scenes conversation.
Oh, man.
That is...
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's so helpless. It feels like when you know that someone's in a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
And you know that if you say, like, hey, I think that that's... that relationship is toxic. They're going to be like, you're just jealous.
Yeah.
Because he does all these things for me. And it's like, he took out the trash, girl. That's like, most of that trash was his.
Like, do you hear that beep? No, you don't, because he replaced the batteries on the smoke detector.
Yeah. You didn't do that when you lived here. Yeah. It didn't die when I lived here.
That's why I only date tall guys.
And it's just so hard because you're like, okay, I'm just going to let you, I'll be here when you need me, but you know, I got to like remove myself from the situation. That's what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, the mattress is here for you to fall back on, you know, once you need to jump out of that burning building, but like, I can't run in to get you. You're going to have to jump, buddy.
It's essentially all you can technically do is provide them a parachute and hope that they jump out with this.
Yeah. It's like, look, your safety net is here, but like, I'm not running into this burning building to get you. I'm not a firefighter.
Yeah, no.
And I'm just a person with a net.
Getting somebody out of a situation is hard because you can't remove them from them unless it's like a, what is that movie? Black Snake Moan.
Yeah.
Or it's like,
you
chain them up until they quit whatever the problem is. Which is not really.
It still didn't really work midway through.
No, not at all. But it's one of those things where it's like you can't pull somebody from a mindset. They have to change their mind on their own, or you have to convince them.
You can kind of push them further in if you try to show reason. All you can do for people is be like, I'm here for you when you need me.
It's like a splinter. You're just fucking making it worse.
But then it's like, when you make that decision to be like, all right, you know, I'm here for you when you need me. And then that person hits you up 3 months later trying to like buy you into their cult or like, do you want to come to this party? It's like, no, I do not want to come to a party with you.
Should I be offended that I haven't been asked to join a cult yet? I mean, like not like a non-Ponzi scheme cult.
Probably not.
Because
the moment you get like what I don't think a lot of people realize is pretty much anyone can fall for a scam.
That's true.
Or a cult pitch.
Shout out to Voyage LA.
Yeah. Depends on where you are in life. You know what I mean? It's like, if they catch you at the right time and they're pitching something that you like, I mean, it's very easy to fall into it and then get very into it and obsessed. And all of a sudden you're in a cult and you haven't seen your friends for 6 months.
I'll see, now it's one of those things of arrogance where I'm like, I wouldn't get roped in. I'd find my way out of it. I would only do it for kicks. But you're right. All it needs is just the right environment for them to say, don't you hate this one part of your life? For me to be like, oh my God, I forgot about that thing. But the thing about cults is like, if you're the kind of person who gets themselves out of certain life situations on your own, like quitting a job, ending your relationship, mm-hmm. doing those things actively for yourself where you listen to that voice in your own head, I feel like a cult is something that you would never really be able to succumb to, because the reason or the purpose of a cult is essentially like you're looking somewhere external to give you the voice that you cannot process or listen to internally. Like when you try to talk.
Yeah, it's a lot of like that community, that guidance of like, I need a path, I need a light. But also, you know, say someone came up to you and was like, hey, you know, I'm doing this tour. Do you want to, like, your comedy and you're going on tour. And then while you're on tour and you're riding through these cities and all, and you're all in this bus together, and all of a sudden little ideas start spewing and everyone's sharing their ideas. And maybe you're like, I don't know about that. And then you start seeing like, oh, this is working for him. And you don't know what this is because the pitch is very vague, but it's working for them. By the end of the tour, you could be in a cult.
That's very true.
Comedy cult.
I'm going to try
to be funny.
I'm going to try to stop. A comedy cult would not work.
What if they were good, though?
We would just be too poor. And it would just be really one long open mic type circle jerk. It's just sort of like...
probably what it would end up being. But, you know, you'd be in that cult and you'd all wear the same like outfit to do comedy.
I mean, we technically do that now.
Yeah, that same black hoodie with the white piping.
Yeah, we're all wearing vests with untucked buttoned up shirts.
You guys are bow tie comedy. You wear sweater vests and bow ties. And you're like, how did I become this comic that wears sweater vests and bow ties?
Why are we all wearing fedoras? It's just, yeah, what is happening?
It'll be like funny fedora comedy.
Yeah, fundora.
Yep, that's what it would be called. And you'd be like, oh, it's a pun. And I'd be like, that's how they got you.
Yeah, that is exactly
how they got me. That's how the cult would get you.
Yeah, everything will be a pun.
We're not a cult. We're a cool.
Yeah. I'm getting out of this cult right now. I'll give you my keys. And then they're just going to make some kind of piano joke. I'm like, you're right.
And just like that, I'm back in the game. God.
Hold on. Let me take off my magic underwear again.
But yeah, if they pitched it right, I think anyone could fall for a cult.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us bought into the cult of America.
That whole stamps message. Oh, that is so good. You were
all standing up. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Jesus. Okay.
We didn't even know what the fuck allegiance meant. We learned how to say that word before we learned the definition of that word.
Have you ever seen now when they do the what is it called? The Star Spangled Banner.
Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah. Is that the one that they do like at baseball games? Or is that,
they do Star Spangled Banner. There's usually a...
is that the one that's the, oh, say again, you say?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So...
there's the other song they do at football games, but I can't remember which one it was.
Being at a baseball game, this was at the Dodgers dugout like club that they have where it's like a little dining area. Everyone's chatting, shooting the shit, not really watching the game yet because it's the food that comes with the dugout club thing or whatever for the game. And everyone's just, you know, enjoying this buffet, grabbing their food and stuff. And then the moment the singing starts, it's like everybody goes into like an autopilot mode where people just stop and they just put their hand.
Yeah.
And they all just kind of do this. And I'm like there like scooping mashed potato, looking around at everybody just like there's a lollipop in my mouth. And I'm just like, what is going on?
Just chewing that last nacho really.
Yes. Much. And everybody's just kind of standing around me very android-like. It was terrifying.
Do you know how terrifying it is that when people don't do it,
yeah,
it caused a huge national hoopla.
Yeah,
like there was a national debate. People were like sending hate mail to people who were like, I'm just gonna take a knee or sit down.
That, I mean, it would be a terrible time.
Well, how fucking dare you? Our Lord has spoken.
Imagine
you like, pledge.
Imagine during the Star Spangled Banner, you're like, oh, my shoes are untied. Let me just take care of that real quick. Suddenly America hates you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you like get winded and like have to sit down. They're like, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah. You're like, oh, my ankle. Let me take care of that real quick. And then they just start kicking you out of the country.
Get out of the wheelchair, grandpa.
Yeah.
It's a Star Spangled Banner.
Oh my god.
They just start tilting people's hospital beds up.
Whenever I hear about during somebody the Super Bowl. Whenever I hear anybody being like, I can't wait to get to the US. I can't wait to be a US citizen, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I'm not even saying I want out. I'm just saying I'm like there's pros and cons to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking about it, I'm like, there's so many countries that I haven't been to any other country. As I said, there's a few I haven't been to. I haven't been to any other country. But I'd imagine that if I went to one, I was like, oh, I see why you would want to come to the U.S. because here things are slightly different. But I also feel like,
look,
every place
I'm from where I'm from.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point I'm too invested in this country to just pack up and leave.
I would leave for a job. That's about it.
Yeah, I'd leave for work and to travel, of course, all the time. Like, my goal is to get into a financial place where I could be here and then travel other places when I need a break from here.
Yeah. And, you know, and to go on the run. Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, oh, man, what do I want to say about the United States today? I think that we have...
Oh, that's such a dangerous thing to say.
Yeah. We have the roadblocks.
Yes.
To a great democracy, we have the infrastructure and the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It was just all built
to
be ignored. It's like no one looked at the blueprints when they started building the house on it. So they were like, oh, all men are created equal. Got it. And then they started building the slave house. You know, it's like... this country, it's like we have the roadblocks. And I think a lot of other countries see in our laws that the possibilities for more are there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a lot of other laws, that's not. Or they're even less in force. I think in the United States, there's just a lot of things we don't choose to do the right way.
Can I give you a similar analogy? But it's
written down that we should be. What's up?
All right. It's like building a structure, a large structure, a well-built structure, not knowing that it's in an area where there's going to be earthquakes.
Yeah.
So he didn't make it earthquake proof. So the first fucking jolt that causes structural damage can be pretty devastating or significant. Now you have to go back and retroactively reinforce these things for the earthquake.
But instead of doing that, like the U.S. hires like their cousin contractor and they come in and just kind of like hack job. They do like the landlord.
It's a bunch of remodel. Bed springs. And just,
they just paint just, over the roaches and the cracks. That's the U.S. The U.S. is a slumlord.
Yeah, it is.
But in your lease, there are all these things that you deserve to have and that you have a right to. Your landlord's just not going to get to them.
I remember living in a building where the parking lot was underground.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is like the place that would flood all the time. The ceiling in this very concrete setup for where all the vehicles are, where flooding and pipes are happening, cracks.
No.
Hey, everyone, should we be concerned about that growing crack? Don't worry about it. We got it. Just gonna paint over it.
Yeah,
essentially, it was it might have been like concrete or some shit that they put over it to try to fill the crack. I'm like, it's not about filling the crack. That's like a band-aid.
Reinforcing it,
taking a section out, building some pillars that go there. I understand we'd lose a parking spot, but at least we won't lose lives.
All of our cars.
Yes.
Like your landlord just comes out and pulls gum out of his mouth, puts it in the crack.
It legitimately looked like at one point they just took one piece of gum and they were just like, they kind of stretched it out a little bit. It was disturbing how like makeshift the resolutions were for this place. It's why I kept flooding, because everything was like, and this was in Studio City. So it was like a place where they're like, oh, this place is fancy. We pay so much money to live over here. Oh my God, is that a celebrity?
Yeah.
Oh my God, why the actress from The Office is walking her dog in front of our building. That's so cool. Sure.
Did my house fall apart?
Yeah.
Hey. No, the U.S. is like, here's even another analogy. We're like that, the U.S. is like that room in the house that you turned into a gym.
Yeah.
But then you just stored a bunch of junk on top of your gym equipment. So it's like, it is a gym, and it has all the equipment to be a gym.
Yeah.
But we're just not using it that way.
Yeah.
So I think people see that, and they're like, oh, well, this is a place of opportunity. Plus, first off, the U.S., for all their bullshit, I say there is like, it's not me, for all of our bullshit, the United States has a great PR team, and we're such a large size bully that people don't question it.
Yeah, it has been. You don't know.
But our marketing has been like to have all of us believing for so long that we are the greatest nation on the world, and we're like just like one of the youngest. It's like, yo, you just got, it's like we're the equivalent of a teenager being like, fuck you, dad.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
Imagine being the PR person who's like, all right, now here's the thing. We need to make a couple of villains into heroes. Christopher Columbus. Now, cool hat. Like just like picking out whatever they can for this guy, being like kind of a cool accent. Everybody likes a European, you know, like all this shit to try to make it seem like this is like a,
he pled his case to the king and queen like three times. Like he's persistent.
He went up against upper management. Like how brave is that?
He fought for the chance to go out and venture and pillage. We're not going to say that part when we teach them young. We're going to wait for them to find that out in their 20s.
And he always wanted to just meet new people and show them the world.
He gave them like blankets and, you know,
shackles,
jobs.
Yeah.
They didn't get paid, but they had jobs.
You know what? The hours were long, but it, you know, it's like steady income.
Should we talk about the murder and assault? I think we leave that out.
Yeah.
We call it, what is the word that Christians use? When they're spreading the word.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what word I'm looking for. Yeah. That's what we'll call it.
Yeah.
A crusade.
Oh, my God. What's the other one I was just thinking of?
We're missionaries.
Davy Crockett is the other one. Like, do you remember? I used to be a kid once upon a time where we would be watching at school the Disney Davy Crockett movie, cheering on Davy Crockett. Not the Mexicans that were trying to get their land back. Not the war that was happening where they were like, oh, we're going to be at the Battle of Alamo or whatever, being like, oh, okay, Alamo. Oh, that belongs to Mexico. They're like, no. It belongs to America now. And not even realizing that the Mexicans were villainized in this thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember just being as a kid being like, Davy Crockett, man of the wild frontier. And being like, this guy's so fucking cool. He stares down a bear. He's got his friend Jim Bowie with a Bowie knife. Like, that is like a cool guy with a cool friend. And they're going around being cool guys.
Well,
not realizing like, oh, no. And it ends with him just kind of like fighting, like swashbuckling, fighting like, and the credits as it fades away, not realizing what the actual story was. This dude was a bad guy, and he died in the battle. They just made him seem heroic. Mm-hmm. It's like saying like a guy jumping out of a building and just like falling on his way down, and then just being like
freeze Steve frame.
Smith, and like right before he splatters or whatever.
No, first off, before I get into my point, I want to say like I feel like those tall tales, those American tall tales. Or yes. U.S. tall tales. I'm trying to get out of the habit of saying American because North and South. Were a huge thing in the 90s. Like, I couldn't go anywhere without seeing Paul Bunyan, Johnny Appleseed.
That's exactly what
John Henry, you know. And the one that really, like, was John Henry. Because it's like, okay, you know, I'm happy that we have a fable. You know, there's one for us. Yay, we got a black dude. But this dude was like, if I remember correctly, a slave.
And he
was so good at, you know, striking down the bolts into the railroad. So when they brought the automatic one, you know, that was going to take his job, I guess, he challenged it and he beat the machine and then immediately had a heart attack and died. And I was like, so this black man worked to death.
Yeah.
Because you were trying to take his job. That's the tall tale that we get.
And what I like about that is like, so kids, if you work really hard and dedicate your life,
you can get a your moral literal victory. Life. Yeah. And I think if I remember correctly, because it's been so long since I've been into tall tales and since I've seen
Hold on,
like,
Ariel,
the cartoon.
Let me get this straight. So you don't currently, presently, full time follow tall tales?
No, I don't. I gave up. There was this one day where you stopped thinking about tall tales and never went back.
You know which one that I don't stop thinking about? An American Tale, 50 Goes West.
Oh, God. I knew you were going to do something. Anyway.
Absorb it.
Back.
Absorb it.
Back to what
I love you.
But Pecos Bill, I think, if I remember correctly, there was this part in which he married a woman. And she had one of those, I forget what they're called, but it's
Griddles?
Like the little, but the one with the big behind.
Oh, the caboosey ones?
Yeah. And I guess when she was getting, they were getting married, his horse kind of bucked her off a little bit, and she bounced on that and bounced all the way to the moon. It was like he couldn't stop her, and that's how he lost his. And I was just like, I don't even know what that one's trying to teach me.
Yeah.
I remember that in the cartoon. So that might have just been in the cartoon, because I remember that in the cartoon version from like the 90s. And I guess his horse never liked her, which that sets aside a whole new story. Like, why is your horse jealous of your wife, sir?
Yeah.
What do we need? What are you doing? What questions do we need to be asking?
The real lesson here is make sure that you gotta bounce that ass.
Yeah. The true lesson is, like, if you ain't got that real ass, don't fake it.
Yeah.
Just be who you are.
So you got a flat ass, you won't leave the orbit. You won't leave the atmosphere. Flat ass,
she would have just landed.
Yeah, you would have just landed, it would just plateaued.
Yeah, her tailbone might have been messed up, but you know.
Yeah.
She'd have been fine. She wouldn't have been on the moon. But what do we know? We just have a podcast.
Or do we?
Yeah. I watch these clips from the podcast bros sometimes, and it just feels like one of those, like, damn, is that what we look like?
Absolutely.
I'm like, they give us a bad name. Be like, hey, what you gotta do with women is they should be greeting you pussy forward.
Is that really a thing somebody said?
There are some of those dudes that believe that, like, a chick should be ready when you get home at any time you want it.
Oh,
say no, all that shit. Like,
I thought you meant like physically their crotch comes at you first, but like, hey, nice to meet you. Like kind of just,
you're
like,
how much yoga did you do to get to this position?
Yeah, your husband's coming home and you're just like spider crawls in just backwards and you dick out being like, hey, honey, I'm home. Oh my god.
Oh man, we need help.
Yeah, somebody help us.
That's which is crazy, because we always record this right after I've had therapy, and you know, the people get to see.
I actually have therapy the next day to process all we do.
I start with therapy, so I have more of a balanced water level.
My therapist is like, stop lying, we have therapy on Mondays. All right, fine.
My therapist is starting a podcast.
Is she?
With a friend of hers who always also does therapy, I think.
What if she started a podcast that talks about your sessions being
I'd be so happy. She's gonna win a Pulitzer Prize off of just my chapter alone.
Oh my god, I would love that.
The amount her chapter's gonna start with, I don't think I helped her much, but she brought me so many laughs. Yeah.
So legitimately, we are going to have to wrap this up, but I have to tell you one story before we wrap it up. So I do my therapy through my insurance provider.
Mm-hmm.
And
same.
They when you go in house to do the thing, you know, like you get like your you have your email confirmations, your updates being like, thank you for coming, this is your appointment. This is the, you know, like they use the same system that your doctors use, which is like, this was what happened during your visit, you know, mm-hmm. your like physical. The notes, yeah, like notes it. Being yeah. like, yeah. Excuse me. My therapist put what I talked about in my notes that is part of my medical record that everyone at the hospital can see. If they access my files, they could be like, so you saw you were with your therapist, and oh, that is information.
Oh my god!
I went in to
see. Did you call them and be like, can you take that off?
Yes, because I got to tell you, my therapist freaked out. And I said, dude, I'm like, do you know what you're doing? He's like, well, he goes, I leave these notes for myself. And I said, you're leaving them in the system that everyone has access to. And I sent him a screenshot of it. And he goes, I am so sorry. Let me take care of that for you. I'm like, yeah. And just so you know, if you have any other patients, you're doing this to them as well. And he realized afterwards, like, oh,
and you're okay, like, there's and I'm some looking stuff up your other patient, yeah, Brian so Murphy.
He had to go through and just change every one of those because he just was didn't outing everybody.
The technology.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like I remember it said something like, there's when I discovered this was like after my cousin had passed, and I was like talking about that. And it's like, it said something along the lines of like, lost his cousin, blames himself for cousin's death kind of shit. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, why is that in there?
It says
like,
blood is on his hands.
Previous note has hypothyroidism. Like, I'm like, fuck, man. All right, let's wrap it up there.
Sad sack of a human being.
can't get up in the morning in more ways than one.
Has a podcast?
Yeah.
Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Yes. Downloads are abysmal. let's get out of here, Ariel. Yeah, let's go home.
On that note.
Yeah, let's go home.
Yeah, I need to get home.
All right. Ariel, how can they find you?
At Ariel underscore Washington, A-E-R-I-A-L underscore Washington on Instagram.
Yeah, at I am Jose Chavez on Instagram. I know it's something else on TikTok, but I don't really try to promote that because I don't put any.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm rarely on my TikTok.
I don't even know what my TikTok username is. I'll find it. I can't do at I am Jose Chavez because somebody already has that. So
I feel like every week I get a new follower in my eye. And I'm like, I don't know this. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I give that out every week.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, that happens to me every now and then.
It's my protective, like, as a woman, I got to be like, who is this?
Yeah.
Hey, I got a bat.
I know.
I'm not alone in here.
I get the same way, you know, and don't attack me because of this, but I am autistic. And I forget.
I'm going to throw a can at you.
Mexican? How dare you? Okay. Y'all take care. Keep life
it's
awkward.
It's an American. Okay.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.